Welcome to the Pruleith Culinary Institute podcast. I'm your host, Adele Stieler van der Westhuizen. Join me as we explore the fascinating world of food through interviews with chefs, chefs in training, farmers and producers. We will be talking ingredients, techniques, recipes, history, trends, health, sustainability and even the odd bit of politics. But it will all be about food. In 2011, the then Pruleith Chefs Academy formed a partnership with Alma La Scuola Internazionale di Cucina Italiana, Italy's premier culinary academy, to train South African chefs in the art of authentic Italian cuisine. Since then, we have sent close to 30 South Africans for an international experience to master Italian food. Talking to me in this episode about Italian cuisine and studying culinary arts in Italy is Chef and Alma Ambassador Carlo Maria Ricci. Welcome, Chef Ricci.
Hello, Adele. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, very well, very well, especially if we can meet up with our Italian friends. We've had a long-standing partnership with Alma, as I've just mentioned, Chef Ricci. But what is the aim of Alma's international program and how many partners does this program include?
So Alma has 20 international partners, which can be better described as other culinary schools that very much share Alma's ethos. And the idea of the program is to, from Italy, spread as much as possible the ethos and also the actual ideas and concept behind Italian cuisine, which can be very different when approached from inside rather than outside. And at the same time, he's trying to build a relationship with these other schools so that the know-how, the international know-how that can be gathered from outside of Italy can also slowly find its way into Italy, which, as some of you might know, it's a very traditional culinary culture.
Yes, indeed. And as it's globalized, things have changed quite a bit outside of Italy. So I think what we found very refreshing is to sort of see all the things that were actually not Italian, that we thought were Italian.
We're Italian, yeah.
What is the structure of this program for students that join through your international network?
So I think the first thing we should say is that there are going to be more than one program. So there is what is considered to be the go-to international culinary program, which is designed to be about a year long, and it's split into two different units or modules, if we can so call them. The introductory one is very much an introductory module in Italian cuisine. So it's composed by a 2 months residential phase and a month-long internship. And the residential phase is aimed very much at introducing students to what food is in Italy and the actual context it exists in. Because Italian cuisine is not just about recipes, cooking, tradition. It's also very much about its products. And to understand Italian products, you really have to go see where they're made, how they're made, because some of them are rather unique. So the first 2 months there are spent obviously in the kitchen. There is a strong kitchen component, there is a hands-on component, but there is a good amount of field trips that take place. And I think it's during those that the understanding of what food in Italy really is comes about. And then obviously this is followed by the training period that we're talking about, and it's only a month long. It's about understanding what working with these products in a professional environment is all about. So, and it's also for those who haven't had maybe an introduction to the industry, it's also a chance to, get the baptism of fire.
Yes, don't we know that?
They might end up with. And there is a day assessment at the end, which is very much about understanding from Alma's side whether the pupil has understood kind of the context that Italian cuisine exists in. And then after this per course, then they can take on the second phase or the second unit, which is a lot longer, is 8 months. The residential phase is 4 months, and it's followed by 4 months of training. So an internship or traineeship that is 4 months long. So it's just as long as the time they spent in class. And here things change completely, because there is obviously, yes, still a very strong hands-on component. So a lot of practice hours spent, you know, playing, also working in Alma, but also the field trips are still there, but they are a lot more detailed and they're a lot more technical, if you can so say, but also elements of pastry, bakery, the Italian wines appellation system, and also the tasting of Italian wine, some nutrition, and obviously health and safety notions are thrown in there. And there is also a component of Italian, because of they say that it's easier to change languages than to change the way we eat. So obviously, if you are training into Italian cuisine, there is a degree or component of Italian that you must understand. Yes. And so at the end of this 12-month program, there is basically, Alma believes that students can come out with a very good understanding of what Italian cuisine is. And interestingly, we're starting to see that more and more people stay in Italy, choose to stay in Italy, some even in Alma, which to us is kind of like a sign of the course's success, or at least the fact that it has managed to entice some of the students so much that, you know, they actually fell in love with Italian cuisine. There are also a pastry program that is a lot shorter. It's an introduction into Italian pastry. It's not so much a technical course in pastry, but it's very much about what pastry is in Italy. And as you know, Adele, Italian cuisine is very unique, and Italian pastries can be very foreign to somebody who's not accustomed to them. You know, there can be a lot of cheese. There's a lot of drier kind of consistencies that, although are very much traditional. But for those who maybe were interested in just understanding the context Italian cuisine exists in, then there are week courses just really to explore Italian cuisines. And they are cuisines, excuse me. And they're very much more gathered towards understanding the production of the products behind the cuisine itself. Mm-hmm.
You have mentioned the language, and I remember a student saying to me, and I said to them, you know, classes are all taught in English, and they were very happy about that. And when I met them later at Alma, they said to me, you know what, it was very important to learn the Italian. They said, because when they were doing their practical in the kitchen, they said, although their chefs could speak English, they said, when in service and under pressure, there was one language in the kitchen, and it was Italian.
Italian, absolutely. And I also think maybe it's a good way of picking up extra tips, you know, because, you know, when there is a bit of what I call chef talk behind the scenes, then if two chefs are really kind of like clearing out an aspect of a preparation with each other, then I think you can kind of like eavesdrop a little bit.
Absolutely.
Which is absolutely.
Be part of the kitchen gossip. But I think most importantly, you're able to access the culture. And I think that is why we also encourage that our students already start with Italian in South Africa. But talking about the workplace experience, can you elaborate a bit about the different establishments where students get their workplace experience in this program?
Sure. So I think this is one of the most exciting aspects of Alma. The network of restaurants that Alma has relationships with is massive. It covers every single region, every single main city you can think of, but also different types of establishments. So not everybody, for example, feels like tackling Italian cuisine, or maybe not everybody has the skills or the desire to go through, let's call it the Michelin star path. So those are all available. So students could end up in two or three Michelin star restaurants, and all these restaurants are very eager to take on both Alma students that come from Italy and the international ones, because obviously for the international students, they understand that there is an international component getting into their kitchen, you know, so there is a lot of osmosis that goes on there. But also they could end up in a trattoria, in an osteria, in a very traditional family restaurant. So there is really the options are as diverse as people's characters and also aims might be, because, you know, not everybody entering the culinary program might want to use the knowledge the same way. They could also end up in maybe like pastry labs or gastronomy labs, gastronomical labs, where there is a heavy focus on preparation, traditional preparations, but a completely different way of getting food to the customer. So that really that there's a lot that can be done. And if we had to sum it up in one go, like, they could really choose from any of the Italian kind of like, let's call it market realities, or even just segmentation. That's probably another way of saying it. So there is really an abundance of choice. And I'm going to underline this is probably one of the most beautiful aspects of my great relationships with the Italian hospitality industry.
And I think what I've seen in our experience is that it just reminds you how vast the food industry is that we are not absolutely just about restaurants, that it's about learning the language of food in general, and absolutely that it can be applied across such a wide variety of fields.
Absolutely. You mentioned like Italian cuisine, or just all cuisine existing within the context of globalization. And there are so many different ways of being a chef at the moment. It's so exciting. Like really, you could choose so many different avenues. Like some probably even so new that, you know, how do you get into them? It's all about, you know, understanding creativity or even just spur of the moment. But really there is so much variety to choose from at the moment. It's encouraging, I'd say, in a way.
Oh, definitely. I couldn't agree more. What would you say are the benefits for international students to study Italian cuisine and to specifically study it at Alma?
I'm going to refer to something you said earlier on. It was beautiful for us to understand what was really Italian and what wasn't. So I think like with any cuisine, as soon as it leaves its country of origin, it changes. And it's just how it is. There's nothing wrong about it. It's a very natural step in its kind of like getting out of its own reality and then moving through other cultures or whatever. But coming to Alma really shows you, first of all, obviously, because this is a school that it's really can be considered the epicenter of Italian cuisine as far as education goes. Like if I always say, I'm a bit partisan, I'm going to say it anyhow. If you don't see it at Alma and if you don't have a chance to discuss it with other chefs at Alma, then it's probably a conversation that is not happening within Italian cuisine at the moment. There is a lot of attention to detail when it comes to food history, the different regional cuisines, but also implementation. So you actually learn really how to do it. And then for sure, you demystify things that are Italian and that are not Italian. And more so in the process of demystification, you also get to see different approaches because you'll see different chefs, not only from Alma, but also from outside coming to Alma, doing demonstrations. You get a chance to prepare dinners with chefs who have restaurants in Italy and are coming just for the occasion to work with a class. So you really get to understand Italian cuisine within the context of hospitality, and you get to see many different phases of it, which I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, I think it is something that I often highlight in our open days when we talk about this course, is when I spent some time years ago at Alma, what I really loved was the guest chefs and their lectures that they come and do. So the students go and they do a workplace experience with one chef. But through this exposure of guest chefs, you learn the food philosophy of so many different chefs. And I thought that absolutely, that was just absolutely enriching for any young chef and their food mind. That's still developing. Absolutely valuable.
Yeah, I agree. And if you think about the message of a lot of like great chefs, even when they recount their formation years, they would say like, I spent a lot of time with one person who gave me the bones of the job. And then I traveled. I went to see different establishments. I went to try different cuisine, different restaurants, different places, different chefs. And that I think is what really enriches a chef at the end. And getting a chance to do it when you're studying really sets the pace for maybe an even greater desire to learn once you leave.
Absolutely. It all sounds very exciting, but we know that it is not without its challenges to study abroad. What are some of the major challenges that you've experienced that students find when they study abroad?
Well, this is something very close to home for me, because when I came to Alma the first time, I came from years of not living in Italy, so I didn't realize how much I changed. So I was lucky enough to know the language, and that is going to be definitely one of the biggest hurdles. But then the simple fact that you're immersing yourself in a completely different culture, you're arriving in a town where everything is about food, but also you're arriving in a very specific region. Unique people, the people of Emilia Romagna are one of a kind. So the cultural differences are massive. And then trying to understand, not so much whether you like them or not, but you're just trying to understand how they relate to you, you know, to your experience, is also always a very exciting step to take, but it can be a little tricky. You know, the weather is very peculiar, very specific here. So, you know, we have foggy winters and muggy summers. So if somebody is not accustomed to that, that could be an issue. But obviously I'd say studying abroad, you know, there are all the issues of traveling and then living in a foreign country. But then I also must say studying cooking abroad is you know, anything that has got to do with food can be very challenging. You know, some students might come, taste something, understand it, but then probably not know what ingredients have gone in there or understand the specific steps that were taken to get to the point. So you're learning how to live in a different country, and you're learning how to, you know, eat in a different way and cook in a different way. And those three elements put together can be very, very challenging. But luckily, I think passion is what kind of like drives every student we've seen in the international program. So they really grind through it, and it's beautiful to see. There's a lot of desire to succeed, or at least, you know, come out of it with a good understanding of what is going on.
I think once they've tasted Colatello, they will forgive the fog in the winter if they understand that beautiful process. But it is indeed peculiar, and I think that it's so beautiful in Italy to see how the products and the terroir and the climate all work together. So
absolutely,
even in that, there's a lesson.
That's fantastic, because it's kind of like the catchphrase that gets thrown around whenever you have a foggy day. It's like, oh yeah, but you know, those hams are curing just the way they should. Wonderful.
But talking about the education of these young chefs, many years ago, when we first visited Alma, I remember Chef Michelle Magada said to me that the most difficult thing to teach international students is the Italian spirit. What did he mean by this, and is Italian cuisine difficult to master?
I guess they're kind of like two questions that are very much interlinked. So understanding the Italian spirit is understanding, first of all, there is the roots, the connection with the landscape and with traditional products is very, very strong. And when that doesn't apply, then there is a very strong philosophy and way of thinking and acting behind Italian cuisine, that it's all about simplicity and like the uttermost respect for ingredients. And sometimes, especially, if you think about the big culinary movements that have taken place in the last 30 years, if you think about molecular gastronomy, for example, or even in some cases, think about nouvelle cuisine. They were about the product, but they were also about working the product quite a bit. And this is something that in Italy sometimes just doesn't go down very well, especially if you happen to work with a chef who really believes in its own culinary roots, which might not be Italian, you know, might just be regional. And this is another very important aspect to understand. Italy is a small country of 21 regions, and each one of them has its own regional cuisine. And in some cases, if you were to pick two that were, you know, maybe let's call it a few regions apart, so a region in the north and a region in the south, they will be two separate worlds. They have nothing in common, different cooking fats, different flavors, different approach to cold cuts, cheeses, even techniques. You know, you might find smoking in the north of Italy, you find zero smoking in the south of Italy. Yeah. Pasta is not just one thing, it changes as you travel through the country. So this is really important to understand. And it's confusing. It is. But it's there is sense in the madness. And this is very much understanding the Italian spirit. It's, even from the outside, Italians seem to be very exuberant and very, you know, very a little unpredictable maybe. And this is exactly how the cuisine is. And there is nothing unusual for Italians. But when coming from the outside, and also maybe when trying to really understand how to learn Italian cuisine, seeing all these changes that are constantly evolving as well can be a little bit complicated. So a little bit difficult, excuse me. And then is it difficult to master? I don't think so. I think like just every other cuisine, like you really have to have the desire to understand that it's something that, as with anything, takes a very long time. And the first step is really accepting this great diversity as normality and kind of going with the flow, which means maybe bumping along a few contradictions here and there, because two different regional approaches might even be contradicting each other sometimes.
Yes.
But if you can contextualize it in the right place and with the right ingredients and with the right techniques, then it kind of slowly becomes natural.
I often get asked by people, why do I continue to return to Italy? Because since we went to Alma those many years ago, I've gone back frequently for holidays, even my honeymoon. We've just fallen in love with Italy. And people always say to me, well, you know, there are other countries. And then I say, but Italy, every region, it feels a bit like a different country. It is different every time. And I think that regionality is definitely one of the things that we love most about it. And, of course, the ingredients that they produce. Which one of these amazing Italian ingredients are your favorite, chef?
And here is where more contradictions begin, because ideally, like the answer should be just products for one region. But this is not the case for me. I'm a massive fan of Parmigiano Reggiano.
Oh.
I always say, like 2 years ago, I fell in love with Parmigiano Reggiano and my future wife. So it's really something that I've investigated to the point of getting to know the dairies and the different farmers. I think it's a wonderful product, but I don't think it's the only Italian cheese, for example, worth of notice. I'm a big fan of pecorinos, so sheep milk based cheeses, and they are found throughout Italy and they change completely from one region to another. So I find them fascinating. for what they are, for how they taste and how they change. I love culatello just as much as I think you do. I love culatello, but I also like the coccas, the salumi from southern Italy that are drier, hotter. I think they're very, very exciting and unique for what they are. But what fascinates me above everything is the fact that Italy has a lot of certified products, a lot of PDOs, PGIs, but most of them are not cheeses or colcas, as one would think. They're actually fruit and vegetables. And when you actually dwell into the markets in Italy, you find amazing seasonality and beautiful products. And I think that's the part of Italian cuisine that probably, and the products that stimulate me the most, but there's so many that mentioning them won't take a while.
We've talked product and we've talked Italian spirit, but in your opinion, what is the most important thing to learn about Italian cuisine?
Because of its variety, I think there is something for everybody. And also that the blockbuster dishes that are known outside of Italy are from some very specific regions, and whether they are changed or not when they travel, what's interesting is that if you were to look at the root towns, root regions, you'll find that they are very, very oftentimes they match. So there's very few places in Italy that have exported dishes that have become worldwide famous or famous around the world. And when you travel in the places that don't match this search, then you find even greater diversity. So I think that is, it's the excitement that goes with it. I mean, to this day, this is year 26 of cooking for me. Mm-hmm. And I still learn about new recipes. And it's happened the other day. I had no idea something existed. Maybe stale bread and apples. And I was like, what is this? And the girl who was working with me, 21, she looked at me and she said, don't you know it? And I said, actually, I have no idea what you're talking about. And that is what I really like. It's constantly, constantly surprising me.
That's the beauty of food. And I think also what I enjoy as a culinary lecturer is that fact that we continue learning every day.
Absolutely.
So we've talked about Italian cuisine changing, and it has definitely changed significantly over the last few years. Well, not the traditional cuisines, but Italian cuisine has evolved over the last two decades from some of those comforting regional dishes like pizza pasta that the cuisine is known for and famous for, to a contemporary cuisine that has received the highest accolades in the world, with your Osteria Francescana named the world's best restaurant on more than one occasion. What has sparked this evolution in Italian cuisine?
So there was one point where Italian chefs definitely realized that this beautiful product biodiversity was a strength, and this heterogeneous cuisine was a strength. That this strong concept of tradition was definitely a strength, but also that all these three concepts could very much be evolved. And you mentioned globalization. We mentioned it twice already, but it's coming from the certainty of having a great culinary culture, but then realizing that outside of Italy, there were some fantastic things happening. I think Italians realized that they had something to contribute. And to do that, they had to a certain extent, not so much move away from tradition, but either like highlight it as for what it really was or evolve it as much as possible, while at the same time not moving away from it. So they followed the culinary movements that were happening internationally, but they kept them really Italian in a way. And that is something that was really appreciated. And so you mentioned pasta and pizza, and they're definitely like national dishes in a way, you could say. But if you were to look at different regions, there are many different iconic preparations. And in a scenario where outside of Italy, most of them were known, like working on them, like really trying to get them to an international clientele, or at least showing them to our international clientele in a modern key, kind of really presented a completely new version of Italian cuisine that became very appreciated. And obviously, Osteria Francescana, it's Massimo Bottura has this amazing creative mind, and you know, seeing somebody like that and realizing that this could be done, that obviously motivated many others to kind of not take the same path, but at least question tradition as a monolithic structure that couldn't be challenged.
Yeah, and he certainly did that. But I think, you know, if you look at his food also, I think perhaps one of the chefs that has represented his region in some of the most beautiful ways. and absolutely, to really sort of create amazing conversations. I'm just thinking about his dish on Parmesan with the five different textures. It must be something that you quite enjoy as one of your favorite ingredients.
indeed. That and bollito non bollito.
Yes.
Crazy interpretation. Yeah, absolutely. So work with that. And then obviously, I think at the beginning, maybe it felt also very daring to play or at least to create with Parmigiano Reggiano that way. But you know, he was proved right. And like I think many others will.
Mm-hmm. So who are the others? Because who are those Italian chefs that are currently doing interesting things that we should be keeping an eye out for?
I think for interesting, I'm gonna split it in two different categories, because I think interesting is innovation and interesting is also tradition. So mm-hmm. Massimo Bottura has to be mentioned, even if we've mentioned him already. I think his name should go in there. And also Massimiliano Alaimo should be mentioned. And first of all, his approach to cuisine in general, but also for the incredible work that he's doing as a restaurateur with his family as well, because they're really innovating in the kitchen, but also the concept of restaurant is changing with them in Italy, and the concept of owning a restaurant and being a restaurateur is changing. I think that is something that it's very, very interesting, because, you know, hospitality is a passion, but it's also a business. Without the business, we don't have the passion. So I think the Alaimos must be very definitely mentioned, and Massimiliano in particular. I mean, he's the chef, the creative mind behind it all. I think Nico Romito is another great name that must be mentioned for the same reasons that we mentioned Massimiliano Alaimo, but also very importantly, because he had to begin with, and he still has an incredibly strong link with the regional cuisine, and he's in no way limited by, actually, it seems that, you know, the more he investigates tradition, the more he's able to create, recreate, and bring forward very much contemporary approaches with an incredibly passionate link to tradition. Paolo Lopriore is a chef that has always been worth a mention. He's forever an innovator and a minimalist, and also in a certain way, he's an avant-garder. Like he seems to be on some things, sometimes very much a few steps ahead of others. And he's also this beautiful mix of innovation and tradition, but it interpreted in a completely different way than the previous few we've mentioned. And I think when it comes to tradition, we really should mention Nadia Santini, who is, first of all, she's the woman of Italian hospitality. No hands about it. And also, she keeps representing very, very high level traditional approaches that without her, I wouldn't say would be lost, but at least maybe they wouldn't be seen with as such high esteem or regard. But the fact that she's been doing it for so long kind of like reminds us all that there is a space for tradition, and we should never must never forget it. And I think when you look at, I mean, this is very close to Alma's heart as well. Gualtiero Marchesi, the last dean of Alma, was a great influence on Italian cuisine, and all his pupils are, in their own way, still very much innovators on a different level because of age and because of the historical context, and the actual, you know, the world of cooking has changed, but they are definitely doing a great job, so must be mentioned.
I think lots of interesting things to keep an eye on, and I think it's every time that I've visited Italy to sort of see the new names and to see some of this innovation has been incredibly inspiring.
Absolutely. I think maybe, you know what, now if I can spend a few more minutes on this, I think also one interesting thing, Adele, would be to mention all those that are doing a great job in specific areas. Like we obviously are very passionate about chefs, but you mentioned pizza, for example. There are some chefs within that realm that are doing fantastic things. If we think about baking, or if we think about pastry, you know, in every single context, there are people who are really, even just gelateria, ice cream making, there are some people who are really pushing the envelope. And I think all, without actually, you know, getting into the names, but all those chefs should really be mentioned, because in the last 10 years, Italian cuisine, all aspects of Italian cuisine has really moved forward in leaps and bounds, which is very, very exciting to see.
Yeah, I think that takes us back to the different practical establishments that we talked about earlier on, saying how vast the field has become. And it's really encouraging that there's excellence in all of those areas.
Absolutely.
We're finding ourselves in very strange times with COVID. In your opinion, what is the future of Italian cuisine, especially in a post-COVID world?
They are very trying, for sure. The whole industry is suffering. I think globally, the whole industry is suffering.
Absolutely.
It's being slowed down. A lot of people are probably going to be forced to close. Some others might, you know, hang in there. So I think, first of all, when we will be talking about, you know, this situation in the past, I think there is going to be a lot of desire to begin sharing those experiences once again. So hospitality, I think, will go through a little bit of a sudden boom. What it will bring effectively, I don't know, but I think there is going to be a little spot of simplification, which I don't mean that things are confused or overthought at the moment, but I think going back to the roots a little bit is going to be something, some sort of comfort that people are going to be looking for. So they're going to be looking for that kind of tradition to come out and be expressed. But that said, tradition being expressed in 2020, hopefully one, is going to be, you know, it's going to be very, very contemporary as well. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this specialization that we are seeing at the moment. And also I think we're going to see a restaurant sector that on the whole is going to be wanting to really, really please the customer. So it wouldn't surprise me if we're going to see, and I can't even envision them, but just new approaches of welcoming and presenting and even utilizing ingredients that at the moment maybe we're taking for granted or we're not even thinking about. So I think there's going to be a big part of innovation. And I would say in Italy, this is going to happen, but not only. Another thing that I think this is going to bring is a big desire for international cuisines to enter the Italian realm as well. I call it the green movement, which is probably the completely wrong term. But if we're thinking about organic, we're thinking about vegetarian, if we're thinking about plant-based, there is a great momentum from that in Italy, which is fantastic to see. And is also very close to home in many occasions. But I also think that we're going to be seeing the desire for something, again, maybe the wrong term, exotic, different from the norm. So these two things, I think, will just really run one against each other. Well, it's because one alongside each other to surprise us somehow. I think that could happen.
I think after this year, we are quite ready for surprises. So hopefully 2021 will bring some good ones this time around.
Absolutely.
Chef Richie, thank you so much for joining me at a time when we are desperate for the world to return to normal so that we can once again eat proper pizza in Naples and Pollito Misto with Piera in Verona or Tortelli d'Arbete in Parma, all that culatello, of course. It's been absolutely great to at least have some Italian contact to remind us what awaits again in the near future. Thank you once again.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for having me. It was lovely talking to you.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.